Consumer Watch with Wendy Nolan on East Coast Breakfast.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Darren.
So it's 2 days after the big storm, and the insurance company claims must tell the story about that 8 hours of total mayhem in case it ends.
Absolutely. Can you imagine? I don't think it's a very good time to be in insurance.
Mm-mm.
Don't forget, there was also a massive storm in Gauteng on Monday.
Yeah.
So by yesterday morning, Old Mutual Insurer was saying that it had already received more than 15 million rands worth of claims from the storms. And naturally, that number is expected to increase as more people's claims come in. That's just one company.
It's one company in Joburg.
Well, it's servicing the whole country.
But
I heard the figure they're putting it, the industry is looking at 500 million. So there are four types of policies involved. Business, householders insurance, that's for boundary walls, driveways, pools, all the stuff outside the house, the structure of the house itself. House contents, many of those have been trashed, and motor.
That's
so all those cars we saw submerged in water will no doubt be written off if they were insured, because water in engine doesn't work.
Yeah, well, especially we found out yesterday with the electronics.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just...
So, I asked Johan Veldhagen, who's head of Old Mutual Insurer's Claims Support Service, what advice he'd give those whose homes or cars or both were damaged or destroyed by the storm.
The secret is always to report your claim as quickly as possible. Don't wait a week or two to see what happens with your property or your car. Report your claim immediately. We'll send professionals out to assess your car or your house and then deal with the claim from there. But please report your claim as soon as possible.
Yeah, so there are obviously people who think, for whatever reason, I'm going to avoid the rush, or let's see how this damage plays out or whatever. And that's really not a good idea. As soon as possible, always. Susan Walls, who's technical advisor for the South African Insurance Association, agrees and added this key piece of advice.
Whatever happens, try and minimize the loss. Try and prevent further damage, whether it be to the car or to the contents of the house or the house itself.
So in other words, you don't want your claim to be jeopardized, and I've seen this in other cases, by something you did or didn't do to worsen the damage.
Yeah.
Wall said the insurance industry was pulling out all the stops to assess and settle claims as soon as possible.
As happened with the Nisner claims recently, the majority of the companies flew people into Nisner, were there to sit and handle claims and you know, get issues resolved. The majority of the companies will either bring in staff from outlying areas or get temporary staff or whatever is necessary to assist in settling those claims.
Yeah, so Old Mutual Insurers, Johan Veldhagen, said that that company was doing just that, and I imagine all their competitors the same thing. They just wouldn't have enough resources here in Durban to handle all the claims, you can imagine. And then they're going to need the building teams to make good. Huge job. Clearly, it's been a very expensive year for the industry. So I had to ask, should we be bracing ourselves for higher premiums generally, or just those people who have claimed in this disaster?
Oh,
and
question.
He says, no, that's not how it works.
Oh, good.
Actuarially, no, that's not what they do. So
that's good to know.
Good to know. Absolutely. Yeah. One East Coaster who was very glad to have invested in insurance is Grant Wardell. The Durban North duplex near the Harper that he shares with his wife and toddler son was pretty much destroyed by Tuesday's storm.
We've had a whole bunch of sand be deposited into our house. There's a lot of sand left on our garden and our pool. We got a duplex and the whole bottom story is being ruined. So furniture or kitchen counters, the fridge was toppled over, all our garage contents, it's all shared and the like.
So the families had to move out, mainly because the retaining boundary wall has been completely undermined, all the sand washed out, and it's an imminent danger of collapse.
Yeah.
And Grant estimates that the damage inside the home alone, where the water was up to a meter high on Tuesday, is at least 200,000. But at least he's not worrying about financial ruin. He has a bit of our chat that we had yesterday. So this is the week that you are grateful for every insurance premium that you've paid.
100%, yes. We're very grateful. My brother's insurance broker now. My dad has been all his life. So it's been drilled into us the whole time about being insured properly. So we've always tried to do that. And living in a complex, you protected. And then our household contents are also being protected.
So we all know that insurance is a grudge purchase.
Yeah.
There's nothing like an incident like this to turn a grudge purchase into a really, really grateful one.
Yeah.
Given the severity of the storm and the extent of the damage it caused, insurers are unlikely to claim, as often happens, that a sinkhole in a driveway was as a result of normal wear and tear and not cover it, or that a boundary wall collapsed because it wasn't built to the correct standard. Yeah. Because the scale of this and the severity of it puts paid to those sorts of arguments. Okay. It is worth checking, though, checking your insurance policy to see what cover, if any, you have on your boundary wall and what the conditions are. Okay. Because some of them say, you know, it needs to be built to certain, there needs to be an engineer's report and that kind of things. Yeah. In the normal course of events, if it collapses, you might be in trouble. So please email us at Consumer Watch and let us know how your storm-related claims, Tuesday's storm-related claims, are handled. Coming up, Darren, I think it's worth talking about this. Okay. Are the airlines being accommodating to those who missed flights on Tuesday, or were they accommodating? Because these people, many people, just couldn't get to King Shaga on time given what was going on the road. So
that's a very good question.
I did a whip around and asked the airlines about that.
And do you have an answer for me?
Of course. Consumer Watch with Wayne Nola on East Coast Breakfast. So I started phoning on Tuesday because our news team told me that they were getting calls from people who'd finally battled their way to the airport but not in time for their flights and then had to rebook onto other flights and were told that they would have to pay a rebooking fee. What normally happens is if you miss your flight, you don't have to forfeit the entire flight, but they'll put you on another flight. You'll have to pay any fare difference, which is fair enough. If the fare is more, then you pay a bit more.
But and then they also a penalty fine.
So people were objecting under the circumstances. I suppose you now like have gone through so much to get to the airport. And so that was being queried. And of course, they're within their rights to do that. It's not the airline's fault either that this happened. But I did feel that under the circumstances, such an extraordinary storm, and I asked them if they were cutting passengers a bit of slack, basically, is what I asked. Mango Airlines said that they would only charge a nominal fee to change air tickets and that upgrade and cancellation fees would be waived. This could be too late for many people, but if you did have to pay a big penalty fee, then just ask for a refund. SAA said it would waive its rebooking fees for those who flew out of King Shaka on that actual day. As again, many people would already have paid that extra, I would imagine, but all you'd have to do is then go onto their website and call their call center. We'll put the details on the blog to find out to get that refund.
Okay.
Interestingly, they said it was only for that one storm, so they're obviously deciding as they go along whether it warrants that sort of treatment.
Sure.
Kalula was surprised because some of the complaints were about Kalula charging the penalty fee. Apparently, the managers on site do have, the various airports do have the discretion to negotiate or to reduce or waive such fees in exceptional circumstances. So my advice would be, if this ever happens, if there's a huge taxi blockade or something like that, and that affected many, many people, always negotiate around that fee. And finally, the answer that I really enjoyed was from FlySafair's Kirby Graham. This was on Tuesday as everything was unfolding, and he said, no, well, we definitely would waive the penalty fees under these circumstances. Yes, it does cost us, he says, but the passengers have also been, you know, gone through a lot.
Yeah.
And his words to me were, we're in this together. And I thought, what a wonderful approach.
Very
and if
nice.
All companies adopted that, and it's not just about what the terms and conditions are and bada bada, but this is something totally extraordinary. I'm not just talking about there's an accident on the M4 and, you know, I'm talking about major exceptional circumstances such as this. To have a company say, we're in this together, I think it builds so much goodwill, more goodwill than you could lose financially, you know.
So it's worth mentioning again, who was that?
That was FlySafair.
All right, thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Darren. Consumer Watch with Wayne Nola on East Coast Breakfast.